Listening to this podcast right now. Do you want to hear a fucking podcast about anything and everything?
Yeah.
Like movies, music, television, and more?
Oh my God.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
Subscribe to Journey Into Comics Network, and you get Podcastrophy,
hosted
by me,
yes.
Dick. Why not throw a couple bucks to the Patreon? It's your choice. Yeah. This is a Podcastrophy.
That sounds so awesome.
The following is a Journey to Comics Network production.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
You ever tried shawarma? Huh? There's a shawarma joint about two blocks from here. I don't know what it is, but I want to try it.
Do you want some coffee, Mr. Tully?
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Is butter a carb?
Will you stop eating?
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Foodies Watching Movies. This is season 2. This is also episode 18. I'm your host, Nate. Today, joining me, as always, co-founder of Foodies Watching Movies, Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
It's great. It's a lovely Earth Day afternoon here.
Yes, happy Earth Day.
Although, by the time people are hearing it, it's actually May.
Yeah, we're time traveling again.
We're doing that time travel jazz, but... Of course, welcoming back to the show our other co-host of Foodies Watching Movies, Lauren. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Fuck yeah, I'm glad to have you back on the show.
Yeah, I've been hanging out with you guys for like the past 3 days.
I know, it's a new record.
She's not annoyed with us yet.
Give it time.
We've done well.
Also joining us today for the first time ever is our dear friend, Mr. Andrew Juhas. How's it going?
It's going great, and thank you for having me on here. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Andrew works in the movie theater industry, and we thought it would be really fun for you to come up and, you know, hang out with us and do a podcast. So I'm happy to have you.
Happy to be on.
How's your weekend been up here?
Well, obviously, it's been amazing because, you know, whenever I see these guys, I just feel in my element, and we've had so much fun hanging out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did a lot of stuff. We watched a lot of movies. We've eaten a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a very productive weekend.
Yeah, wow. It started Thursday, which was at that point my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You got up here relatively late, which was more like a, hey, we're so glad you're here. Let's all go to sleep now. We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're over 30. It's past 1. It's time for bed.
Yeah.
Of course, then the following Friday, we hung out all day. We got to see a lot of different people, had a little get together.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren came over. Our friend Mandy came over. It was great times, man.
Yeah, nice little party.
So, Andrew, right out the gate, you know, you're new to podcasting, first of all. This is your first soiree into it.
First ever.
Okay. So... what's the most random thing you could ever say on a podcast? And go.
Oh, no. And the brain freezing.
Oh, man, that
the
was so
block.
Mean.
I was just trying to see, if he
Way
was going
to
be spontaneous
Nate.
On that. It's okay. You don't have to go there yet. Just at some point, drop a random on me. Okay,
bring I'll it do on. It. I'm all on it.
Anyways, where do we want to start, I guess?
Well, I guess we could talk about yesterday. Andrew wanted to go to the Albanese Candy Factory before we hit up the movie theater, obviously. And that was pretty fun. I had never been there before. Like, I've only been to the little outlet where, you know, you get, like, just half the experience.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really insane. Honestly, I'm going to say I didn't really like going there just because there were so many people. It was really overwhelming, and like people were in my personal space to the point where I wasn't comfortable, all fighting over chocolates and gummies and candies, and there was a lot of waiting, and I guess it all ended happily because I got like $60 worth of fucking candy.
Right.
Yeah, so there were a lot of candies purchased yesterday. Is the second time you've been to Albany's?
Yes.
What was your experience like this time?
Well, it's the thing is, the... this time it was, as you know, Veronica said, it was a lot more hectic, because the first time I went, I distinctly remember there not being that many people. And so I really had the whole store to myself, so to speak, well, ourselves. But this time it was way more crowded. People were kind of trying to bulldoze right through me, which, you know, that's cool. But I distinctly remember, though, the Albanese workers, they were very helpful and very knowledgeable. So I really liked that part.
Yeah, everybody that worked there was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they did a great job of helping us and, you know, being really kind. Lauren, have you ever been to Albanese?
Mm-hmm. I've been there years ago. Okay. Me and my friend Val, we got high and then we went to Albany's.
What a day. Did you spend entirely too much money, or was it all free samples?
I believe we spent quite a bit of money, each of us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's your go-to pick when you go there?
Anything with chocolate and peanut butter.
Mm. Fair.
That's what Andrew liked. You got the peanut butter pretzel cups or something, right?
Yeah.
I got chocolate
dark chocolate.
Gummy
what
bears.
Are those? Dark chocolate peanut butter meltaways.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Those are amazing.
Does everybody want one?
I
right
don't
now?
Want one. I'm not a you big lost? Dark yeah. chocolate yeah. fan. Yes,
sure.
Thank you.
I somewhat one. Just tolerate
I'll
chocolate.
I knew you would, because, of course, they're delicious.
I kind of want my, like, fruit slices, though.
You want some fruit slices?
That's my go-to when I go to Albany's. I always get the little tiny, like, slices of fruit gummy things.
Those
yeah,
things.
They're just called Albany's fruit slices. And they're my fucking jam.
They have, like, Tootsie Rolls there, or something similar to Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah. They've got, like, the multicolored ones.
Yeah.
I like those.
I remember those fruit slices. The texture is what got me.
Yeah. These are fucking delicious. Does anybody want to try one? Or are you into your chocolates?
I'll give it a moment. Okay. My mouth is overwhelmed with dark chocolate right now, which is not a bad thing.
This is incredible. Mm-hmm. Peanut mm-hmm. buttery, dark chocolatey, just perfection.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
On the flip side, what is not perfection? Lauren, I don't know if you saw this or not. I'm throwing Mentos under the fucking bus right now, because fuck them. Just for this one.
I love Mentos.
They're, what flavor? They're caramel mint.
Caramel mint?
Mentos.
Yeah. Mentos. Caramel mint Mentos.
Yep.
That sounds kind of horrific
I'll
to me.
I'll let you stew on that if that's something you want to try. I wouldn't recommend it.
Of course I don't want to try this. Why would I want to try this?
For sport.
Especially after you just said what
Caramel's
you said about it.
Caramel filled with mint dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
By
think
Mentos,
that sounds good.
The fresh maker.
Mentos better. Mentos fresher. I don't want one. They sound horrible.
Let me just say, I was trying to compose myself, so sorry.
What it is?
The Mentos. I want to talk about the flavor. It's really the most bizarre thing you can imagine. Because you're eating this caramel thing, and you're like, oh, it's caramel, cool. And then you start to bite into it, and you're like, but mint? What?
It's a caramel filled with mint dark chocolate, not dark chocolate, mint dark chocolate filled with caramel.
Right. It's a caramel filled with mint chocolate.
You know,
that's very strange. Why wouldn't they do it the other way around?
I'm do you need sure. to try one and find out?
She does. She's looking at it like, fuck, what do I do,
do
here?
It, do, do it.
Peer pressure is the thing.
Personally, it
I
just,
double dare you.
To me, it just tastes like a Tootsie Roll with... You know, you take a bite into it, like, oh, there's the mint cream, but that's all it tastes like to me.
Mm.
But it's Tootsie Roll filled with mint cream. That
sounds awful.
Yeah.
I don't like Tootsie Rolls.
No.
I do.
I like the multicolored ones, and that's
the
it.
The fruitsies.
Yeah, because they're more like taffy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like taffy.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I love Tootsie Rolls.
I'm going to try Ooh, this
You do love Tootsie Rolls. We've talked
Ooh,
about this before.
Then you might need to try
You got, like, gifted with a giant bag of fucking Tootsie Rolls, like, from Labor Day or something.
No, it was Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Because we had didn't we have two big-ass bags of them, like, still unopened, and we gave you a whole bag. Just take it.
I brought it home with me, and I emptied it into, like, this big, like, serving bowl that I had, this big white, like, punch bowl that I, like, a ceramic bowl that I had, and it stayed in there for maybe, like, a month or so.
Easy to do, though. Mm-hmm. Just picking away and snacking here and there. I'm going to try this orange. What is this, mini orange slice?
Yeah, it's just a little fruit slice, and that flavor is orange.
I feel like Paul Rudd. Does anybody have any orange slices from Civil War?
These are the mini ones. I also got a small bag of the larger ones, which were my OG favorite, my original favorite. And They didn't have very many, so I got what was left, which is only like maybe four or five.
You know what I genuinely appreciate about those?
Hmm.
They don't stick to your teeth.
No.
They're easy to chew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You don't feel like you need to brush your teeth right after you eat these.
Yeah.
And the texture is really cool. I like it.
But the orange flavor was kind of weak as fuck for me.
Mm.
Like maybe well, it's all the other
flavors.
You got to try
one of the bigger ones. I'll go grab the bigger ones. I'll be right back.
Okay, sure. Anyways, so we did we really dive into your like movie history? You're a big movie dude.
Love movies.
Favorite movie all time?
Kill Bill.
Favorite comedy of all time?
You know, that's actually, it's a tie.
Okay, bring on the tie.
It's honestly a tie between Mean Girls and Bridesmaids because it's so quotable.
Man, Bridesmaids is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls is where it's at. I love Mean Girls. I knew V was gonna... My sister and I love Mean Girls.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You guys do.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Okay, I found these big fruit slices.
Okay. So you're bringing out the big dogs.
And then the texture on those bigger slices...
Should I just like break a piece off? That looks like an actual piece of like
right?
lemon.
These lemon ones are like a little, like
thank you,
a little harder.
But okay. I like that texture. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Yeah, these ones are good. The watermelon ones are really good.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite. I really love the lemonade flavored ones, but they were totally out of them. So whatever.
That's really wow. good.
I first had these like at this candy store in my hometown.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But it closed. And then I saw them again years later at like Six Flags.
Nice.
In, like the sweet shop in, at Six Flags. And I would get it every time I go there because they're so good.
Mm. My vote is yes, they are very good.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer this kind of candy over chocolate.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of back and forth, honestly. I like to have sour sometimes. I like to do chocolatey things. Peanut butter is a big jam of mine.
Oh, I know this is kind of off topic because, you know.
Nothing is off topic on a podcast.
Perfect. Tangent. Okay, so quick tangent time. On the topic of candy. So just yesterday or 2 days ago, I discovered one of my new favorite sugary sweet kind of candies. Apparently, Sour Patch Kids now makes tropical flavor, and it was fucking delicious.
We did try those, yeah.
The pineapple. Oh, God, it killed me. It's so good. I still have some, by
good.
The way.
I didn't get to try any.
Well, I've
one.
Got a whole bag, because there's a lot of Sour Patch Kids for one person.
That's excellent. I always refer to my son as a Sour Patch Kid, because he's, like, super awful sometimes, and then he's, like, immediately, like, I love you, Mommy. Let me kiss you. You're beautiful. I'm like, ugh. I'm turning into a little man.
But I'm sure the candy wouldn't sell so hot if it was just titled Kids.
True.
Kids.
Yeah, true.
Anybody want any of these or sour worms?
No.
Mm-hmm. I'm good, but thank you so much, though.
I don't jam so much on the sour stuff.
I love it.
But I could appreciate Sour Patch Kids.
Do you know what I also love? We're going to have to talk about it. Buttered popcorn. Jelly bellies.
Yeah, so Albany's has like an insane amount of jelly beans, like a whole section dedicated to whatever fucking flavor you want.
Absolutely.
And Nate had to pick out the worst, most awful flavor, buttered popcorn. Like
the
that
best,
sounds
most
awful.
Delicious flavor. Have you ever had one?
Yes, I have.
How
my
long
stepdad
ago?
Used to buy me the big like assorted boxes of them, and I remember trying the buttered popcorn and hating it so much. It
okay.
was so sick.
For an experiment.
No, I won't do it.
Please?
No.
Pretty please?
No.
Super pretty please?
No.
Damn. With cherries on top?
Listen, no means no.
Fair enough.
Her body, her choice. Call
me out on that. Okay, so moving on. I want to go get those buttered popcorn. Delicious.
Throw them in the garbage. Where they belong.
No, I don't. The ball has been passed into your court now for 1 second, host.
Well, why don't you tell us, Andrew, a little bit about what it's like working at a movie theater?
Okay. So working at a movie theater is actually pretty cool. On top of the fact that, like any other part-time customer service job, you know, you could be scheduled in the morning, you could be scheduled in the evening, you know, it's kind of all over the place. But on top of that, depending on the movie theater, the ones like I've worked at, you could be box office selling tickets. You could be concession, you know, doing the popcorn, the nachos, getting the drinks, all that stuff. You could also be an usher. You know, you could be cleaning up the theaters, cleaning up the bathrooms, which, you know, kind of sounds like not a good time. But you know what? The movie theater is, and I will always say this to the day I die, it will be the easiest job I've ever worked.
Yeah.
The stressors at that job will never come close to the stress I felt at other jobs.
Yeah.
So it's a very chill job.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best perk of working at your movie theater?
You know, my gut reaction wants to be like free movies, but I always joke about how, well, if I have the free time, I can see free movies.
Right.
But it's honestly amongst my coworkers and sometimes with the customers that come in, getting to talk about movies in real time because I'm at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting the reaction from the audience as soon as the movie's out or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Some of them actually, whether they're coming in early or they're kind of hanging out in the lobby afterwards, sometimes you actually get to talk to some of them and like they're real movie fans, and you can tell like the regulars that come in, they're movie fans. That's why right. They're here every week, you know? So that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. So I've got to know right out of the gate, craziest thing that you've experienced working at AMC movie theaters.
Craziest?
Yeah. Like what's a what the fuck, how did this even happen story?
Well, of the two that I immediately come to mind, there is one that I personally witnessed. So this is actually pretty hilarious. I won't say which one, but there was a movie theater that I worked at. And what happened was it was a really slow day. I mean, it's Monday morning. Who's coming in at that time? Monday morning. Right. And I remember at that time, there was like a whole slew of like Christian movies that just came out. And so this guy walks up and he was like, I had like one ticket to see God's Not Dead.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. $4.99. He's like, okay. And then, you know, throughout the day, we'll do theater checks, you know, just kind of checking up on things, making sure the film quality's good, people aren't on their phones, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Near the beginning of the movie, he's doing just fine. He's just watching his movie. Second time we kind of peek in on him. Okay, so he's still enjoying his movie.
Was he the only one in the theater?
Only one in the theater. Thank you. I almost forgot that part. Third time, hardcore masturbating.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Uh-huh.
I actually wasn't expecting that at all.
God's not dead?
Yeah. I guess there's just something about Jesus that, you know, awoke his inner.
Really doing it for him.
Yeah.
Really awoke him. Wow.
God, yeah. So what happened?
Well, he was asked to stop. But
by who? By you?
Well, initially, no. Because I was like, oh my God, this is fucking hysterical. So I go tell my manager, because technically that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
If someone brings in alcohol, if someone's like masturbating, you know, those are the kind of things you alert the manager immediately.
Sure.
And the manager's like, I don't want to do it. You do it.
God.
So that was totally unprofessional, but I'm also game for a good time. So I was like, okay, let's do this. So I walk right up to him. I was like, hey, sir, you're going to need to put that away because the movie's still playing.
So it would have been okay if the movie was over. He could just sit in the theater.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, totally.
During the film, put your dick away.
Right, that's totally inappropriate. So yeah, he didn't. He wasn't finished. So yeah, so I go get the manager, and this time.
So he just ignores you.
Well, he doesn't ignore me. He looks me dead in the eyes and doesn't stop. But then I'm like, well,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I go get the manager and he finally does something about it. And yeah, he got removed from the theater.
How do you forcibly stop someone from masturbating?
Right. I was
going to ask.
And that's a great point. And you know what? Honestly, a stern verbal warning is about the extent you can do. And then past that, it's okay if you don't stop or calling the cops. Exactly.
Right.
So.
You call the PO.
Mm-hmm.
Did you end up having to call the police?
Actually, the guy, despite the fact that he was just not listening to me at all, I don't recall the cops coming that day. Because after that, the manager did take over. Mm-hmm. But he did leave. We didn't need to call the cops, no.
Wow, somebody vigorously masturbating to God's Not Dead.
Vigorously, yes, being a key word there.
Speaking of, I think there's a God Not Dead 2.
What? Oh, actually, really? 3 just came out.
Is it?
There's it? A yeah, because the second one had, ironically, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Melissa Joan Hart in it. And then this third one,
whoa,
there's a third one that just came
out. Wow.
God's Not Dead?
The only reason I know that is because I went to go do taxes with my mom, and the woman who prepared her taxes was like, we're going to go see God's Not Dead 3 tonight. It's my birthday. She's like, I'm getting off early. We're going to go see it. And I was like, okay, oh that sounds great.
Oh my God.
You know, I love that story. I love that story, though, because even though it was like on the shorter side, I love it when something starts off with, I was going to get my taxes, and I'm like, I have no idea where this is going to end. It's not Dead 3. But then you finish the story, and I was like, click, okay,
got it. And we're back. Great.
So well, that is you. A pretty heinous theater story. Any others come to mind?
Well, on the topic of sex and at the movie theater, same theater, by the way.
Man,
same identical like theater in.
It was the same building, not the room, but okay, it was the same building.
Gotcha. Sure.
What happened was this: it was the manager at the time, different manager, and she was working box office, and she had sold some tickets. I don't even know what the film was; it's irrelevant. But what happened was this old woman comes out, and I'm talking like hunched over, 120 years old, every voice. And she's like, excuse me. And the manager's like, yes, how can I help you? And she's like motioning her finger, like, come closer. Like, I'm too embarrassed to say this shit out loud. Right. So the manager leans in, and she's like, there's these two lesbians fingering in the theater.
Oh my God. I was not expecting that turn in the events in this story.
Right.
Right on, old lady. Okay.
Covering from the mouth of the, again, you just got to imagine her barely cling on to life, just like getting the word fingering out. And so the manager, according to her, she kept her composure because I did grill her about that. Like, are you sure? So she went to go check it out. As it turns out, there was some fingering going on, but it was actually a skater boy and his girlfriend.
Ew.
Not only ew, but again, on the topic of inappropriate timing, they were like right in the front.
God.
They weren't even like smart enough to go in the back and like maybe conceal it. No, they were like right, like front seats.
Was it a full theater?
There was actually just the three of them. I guess they did not anticipate the elderly lady coming in later on. But
oh, they thought they were alone.
I'm really curious what movie they picked.
Like, yeah.
I do not know.
Ah, oh, damn.
I just remember the fingering part.
Like,
yeah.
What if it was like Transformers or something? You know, like something totally left know. Field. I don't know.
Actually, God's Not Dead. It could have also been a funny. Also could have been.
Yeah. Maybe it was God's Not Dead.
Another too. Inappropriate place to. Yeah.
My friend Rachel lost her virginity outside of a movie theater on the lawn.
Really?
On the lawn?
Yeah.
Wow. Throes of passion.
I feel like there's a story, but I'm not sure if I want to know it. So proceed what movie did with they caution. See? I'm going to just kind of fade back.
We were in like maybe like 8th or 9th grade, and she went to the movies with this date that she had, this older guy. And I guess he started fingering her in the theater, and she started to go down on him. And then he just, like, kind of just motioned for her to exit the building with him. So they went outside, and
damn.
Wow.
What movie theater?
I think it was Showplace 16.
In Sherville?
Yeah.
That's intense.
That's funny. Well, it's just kind of dark over there. I guess I could see it working out, I suppose.
Seedy, though.
Seedy as fuck. But aw, for your first time. I guess it makes an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. That's not a lie.
Anyway. What the fuck were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
We're recounting his weekend so far and some of the stuff that's been going on. We went to Olive Garden.
Oh, Olive Garden.
You've eaten a lot of different foods since you've been up here. We've tried a couple different things. We tried a taco place.
Yeah, we had Agüero's.
The tacos with the lime. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
That was really good. They
Lauren
were good
loves Agüero as well.
Mm-hmm. So. We had House of Pizza, which is my favorite.
Yes.
That was good. And then yesterday we went to Olive Garden. And then we went to the movies with Lauren. Mm-hmm. And I guess we could just start talking about that. We went and saw the new Wes Anderson movie, Isle of Dogs. And everybody was very excited to see it because we all appreciate Wes Anderson, except Nate.
No, like I was saying, it's not that I don't appreciate him. It's just he's very formulaic.
It's, well, you agreed with AP when he said that he didn't.
It's a very stylized way of doing things.
Correct.
Right. And this movie was just that. It was very Wes Anderson-y.
But this didn't have one of like some of the typical plot points. Like they didn't. This movie didn't make death the point where you were supposed to feel the emotional pull of like the story shifting. Death was always just a facade because it wasn't ever really there. And I think that's a very interesting way to tell the narrative. And that's actually why I liked the movie quite a bit, is because it's a little bit different from other Wes Andersons where they pull the rug out from under you.
Yeah. This, like, you were saying you just were waiting for the, like, the other shoe to drop or whatever. Exactly. And it never really did in this movie, which was refreshing for a Wes Anderson movie because sometimes they tend to be a little bittersweet. And this one was still bittersweet, but it was a little more
sweet than bitter.
I just wish it was a little bit funnier with the amount of like comedic talent they had, you know, in the cast. I mean, I thought it was really good. I liked it, but I don't know if I need to see it again.
Visually stunning.
Yeah. It's stop motion animation. I don't know how long it took them to make this movie.
I'd have to do some
probably looking. 2 to 3 years. That's what it usually takes.
Let's see. You guys keep talking about it.
One thing to note: did you see Kubo and the Two Strings?
Perfect film. Right. Masterpiece.
Exactly. Masterpiece of a movie. It's also stop motion animation. And they did stop motion animation along with some green screening, right?
Well, they do. Because that's Leica. And they'll do that for certain scenes.
Are you trying to remember what you were searching?
Yeah.
How long it took to make Isle of Dogs.
Thanks.
There you go.
I've done that too.
You get the phone, you look, and immediately you go.
Well, I opened my phone and realized I had a text, and I was like, wait, I was doing something else. What was it? Oh, thank you. Okay.
I gotcha.
I love dogs.
Always here. But no, Kubo and the Two Strings, phenomenal flick, right?
Mm-hmm. Their best since Coraline, in my opinion.
I thought this was animated better, but for different reasons. Because this was more in all the little detail. Kubo is a big fanciful journey. Of course, if you guys can hear that, Cammie's decided to jump in her box in the middle of the podcast. So that was probably annoying.
Cammie's a cat, just to clarify.
Yes, that's a good thing to clarify.
Yes, she is a cat and the not loose, a person.
Not the loose toddler about the house.
Not a human person.
Okay, so the New York Times kind of summed this up in a little snippet. They said Wes Anderson's bleakly beautiful Isle of Dogs. That's okay. How I would describe it. It's bleak as fuck, and it's I don't know who this movie is for.
I don't know who it's for either.
Yeah, I don't know who it's for.
Well,
I liked it, but I don't know who it was made for. I don't know who.
Well,
maybe just Wes Anderson.
One thing I remember you saying, Lauren, last night is, which I agreed with, was it wasn't not necessarily clear of who it's for, but clear what the point of it was.
Yeah.
And a part of me is just kind of like, well, it's Wes Anderson, random to be random at times, but yeah, it just kind of ended.
Wes Anderson is surreal in his own way, like David Lynch is surreal in his own way.
David Lynch.
We'll
we have some things to talk about, David Lynch. We'll do that later in the show.
We'll put a linchpin on that.
So I was looking online here about Isle of Dogs. I just want to read this little description of it really quick.
Sure.
When, by executive decree, all the canine pets of Megasaki City are exiled to a vast garbage dump called Trash Island.
Not all the canine, all the canine pets.
So all the dogs are exiled to Trash Island. 12-year-old Atari sets off alone in a miniature junior turbo prop and flies across the river in search of his bodyguard dog, Spots. There, with the assistance of a pack of newly found mongrel friends, he begins an epic journey that will decide the fate and future of the entire prefecture. So this movie's got it all. It's very Japanese anime influence. It's very Wes Anderson. It's beautiful to look at. Like, visually, it's beautiful and well done.
I know this wasn't his intent. Obviously, Wes Anderson writing from a different point, but I'm just going to share an interesting perspective here. This very much has like that Lion King, Black Panther-esque feel of someone who is ascending, but in order to gain his throne, even though in this movie Atari isn't aware that he's gaining a throne or anything, any kind of power, but he has to go through this journey and really prove himself, you know, and this is a little different than those other movies where it's like the prince knows they're supposed to be anointed and then they go and they fall only to rise again. This is this kid just trying to save his fucking dog, man. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes even bigger than that. And then the grand scale of it makes you feel like it's like imminent. Like there's things that are going to happen. There's a lot of bad that could come from this movie. And then ultimately it doesn't. But voice actors and talent abound.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's so many good actors in this movie.
Yoko Ono was in this movie.
Yeah, Yoko Ono was in it.
But her name too in the movie was Yoko Ono.
Assistant Yoko Ono. Bryan Cranston was in it.
He played Chief. Who played Spots?
Spots was played by Liev Schreiber.
Okay.
Liev Schreiber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson was in it. Jeff
Goldblum. She played Nutmeg, didn't she?
Yeah. She was Nutmeg, yeah.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, for as much as she bugs, I do like her voice when she talks. I think she's got a good voice for that character because she was kind of dead inside, you know? She's got that dead inside voice that works for this kind of movie. I thought it was good. Bill Murray's in it. Ed Norton's in it. Jeff Goldblum, like I said. Greta Gerwig, Frances McDormand. I love Frances McDormand in it.
She played the interpreter, narrator, didn't she?
Yeah, she was the interpreter. I really liked how they made this movie that way.
Oh, yeah, who was the narrator?
It says who narrates in the movie, but what?
Better not be Morgan Freeman.
Here.
You look. It
didn't quite sound like Morgan Freeman.
No.
But that would be funny, though.
Oh, narrated by Courtney B. Vance. He is an American actor. He did Hunt for the Red October. He's done a lot of TV.
Hmm.
This guy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, he sounded like the, the insurance ad voice.
You're talking about,
I can't think of
there's this one guy.
Allstate?
Allstate.
With Allstate, yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy that was in 24.
Yes, but it's not the same guy. It's Courtney Vance. Damn.
Yeah, I enjoy this movie. I liked how it seemed like it was so like disjointed, but it all just worked perfectly together, you know? Like the way that it was cut, and some of it was in Japanese, some of it was subtitled, some of it was translated into English.
Yeah.
They made a point to say that the canines had been translated into English, and it was just adorable.
I'm just still struggling to find the point of it.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, who is this for, and why?
Well, I think the point of the story goes back to
What did I just watch is what I thought yesterday when I got out of the theater. I was like, what did I just watch?
That was a reoccurring theme for that whole day yesterday. What the fuck did we just watch? Yeah. And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, okay. So before we rate this movie, one thing I want to mention about the visual effects and how they did the stop motion was any smoke or anything like that was done with cotton.
I loved that. It was just a brilliantly done visual effect.
Absolutely.
This movie is super precious and clever and adorable.
I didn't like how much crying there was.
Also true, but it was subtle. You know, it wasn't like it was big sob fests. It sure as hell wasn't.
I felt like it was emotionally manipulative.
Yeah.
This movie
What was the little boy's name?
Atari.
Atari?
Yeah.
He was crying for like the whole movie. He was crying and gritting his teeth for the whole movie.
Oh, the gritting of the teeth!
I kind
of
loved.
I kept expecting like some of his teeth to just
break.
Pop off, like pop out of his mouth.
The dude had a fucking metal rod stuck in his head the whole movie.
Yeah,
he was
on a mission to find his dog. He just loved him so much.
I don't know what was up with his eye color and with the eye color of the girl, the young American exchange student.
Oh, with the fro.
Yeah. They just had very strange...
This is a very culturally interesting movie.
Definitely worth a watch, though.
Yeah, I'd recommend watching this movie.
I'll go ahead, but only once. I'll throw the rating out there first. I'm going to give this a 2.5 out of 5 pizza slices. Not that it was bad, not that it was the best thing. It's just
middle of the road movie for you.
It's very middle of the road. I'm still undecided. I feel like if I saw it a second time, it would definitely bump it up to 3.5 because I do like the story. I did like Atari as a character.
I almost feel like you would like this movie better if you had seen a few more Wes Anderson movies before you'd watched it, or even after. Like, if you'd seen Fantastic Mr. Fox, mm-hmm. you might have appreciated this movie a little bit more.
Have you seen The Life Aquatic?
Yeah.
I love The Life Aquatic. That's my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
I love the soundtrack for that.
I've seen The Royal Tenenbaums, Moonrise Kingdom, this
what was the other one, the Darjeeling Limited, the Grand Budapest.
Didn't see Grand Budapest.
Bottle Rocket.
Didn't see
Rushmore.
Saw Rushmore, Jason Schwartzman, mm-hmm. which helped write this movie.
Yeah.
Isle of Dogs, he was one of the writers.
Yeah, I saw that at the end.
I was
he's
like,
always
oh.
a collaborator with Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm. The bros.
Yeah. What did you think? What was your rating out of 5 pizza slices? And you can embellish your pizza with toppings if you need to.
You know, I'm actually glad, because it's funny. At first when Nate said 2.0, I thought he was going to say 2.8 out of 10. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like you like it at all. But if it's 2.8 out of 5, I'm like, okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
I would honestly give it a 3, kind of like middle ground. It was very Wes Anderson-y. It was very gorgeous. I just loved all the little intricate details and care they put into the stop motion animation of it all. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what kind of bogged it down to pizza slices was the way they did the translation between English and Japanese was cute, but a little inconsistent for me. Also, the whole idea of what was the point, because it just kind of ends. Like, the transition to the ending, like, I saw what they were going for, but it just kind of ends. And then also, I'm always, always, always listening to when I'm watching a movie is, like, the score, the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The person who did this, I forget their name, but they've done many projects with Wes Anderson in the past, won Academy Awards for, including my favorite, Grand Budapest Hotel. The soundtrack, what he does usually is, it's this same
Alexander
motif.
Desplat, mm-hmm.
He likes to use the same motif throughout the movie, and I really like that, like the theme, you know. But the soundtrack was kind of off to me, except for like the certain parts. So because of that, especially since I know he's done better, that's what also kind of threw my experience off the score. But yeah, I'd still give it a 3 out of 5. I don't regret watching it, is the thing.
Okay, so.
Three out of five, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Lauren?
I do a 2.5 as well. Just because, like I was saying, I don't really know what I watched. I don't know what the point of it was. The translation from Japanese to English was very inconsistent, and that kind of threw it off for me. It was very nice to look at.
Yeah, visually definitely stunning.
And the soundtrack to it was pretty good, like the sound editing, the sound mixing, they were all excellent. But yeah, I'd give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay, I'd have to say I'm gonna go with a 3, because, you know, as much as I feel like I could go deeper with this movie and really dissect, you know, like different aspects of it that I would typically want to complain about, like with why they chose to subtitle and, you know, why they tried to translate certain characters. Like, I feel like I could go deeper. I just don't really feel like I want to, you know. It's like that kind of movie. It's like, okay, I see that there's a lot going on here. I really appreciate that. It's just, I'm 30 and I might be a little too tired for art. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. You know what I'm saying? I loved the music. I really did like the music and the vibe of it. And it was very bleak. And yeah, there was not much of a point other than good triumphing over evil. And maybe that should be enough.
What is Wes Anderson's problem with cats?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting to note that when the movie started, I don't know about you guys, but the whole, like, good samurai story, the young samurai or whatever story,
yeah.
I thought, oh, that's how the movie ends. He'll just wrap it up right back to that kind of thing. That's going to be the same resolve. It wasn't, actually.
It was just a warrior theme.
It was. But this is also Atari, who is the descended bloodline of the Kobayashi tribe or whatever, righting a wrong from like centuries ago, mm-hmm. you know, and essentially correcting the timeline and saying, look, this is the deal. Ultimately, I just did the numbers. 2.75 out of 5 is what we're going to be rating this for Foodies officially. So
okay.
It's definitely a middle of the road movie. It's worth a watch. It maybe isn't Wes Anderson's best work.
I feel like if there was more of scenes with the dogs, I would have liked it a little more. And there was less political stuff.
Yeah,
and
more I didn't understand a lot of the political undertones or the political story to
and
it.
And did that have something to do with this movie? Was there an agenda secretly behind this? Because I thought that too.
If there was, it was very deep in there, and I was right. just not invested enough to really explore it any further.
Well, I think that it was how like Kobayashi illegally won all the votes and the scientists getting killed, like all the corruption that happens within politics, like kind of bringing that to light. And then like
and standing up against it and inevitably triumphing over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A beacon of hope in these dark times, but it didn't really nail me like that.
Right. I guess the who is this movie for?
I guess the inconsistent translation could also deal with, like, it could kind of be a little bit of a, not, I don't want to say a metaphor, but in some way relate to dogs not understanding us or us not understanding dogs.
Like that.
Like, you know.
Right, and the subtleties of how you can communicate with somebody that you can't communicate with. That's why there's all of the tears and the close-ups shots of the faces, you know, the excessive emotional manipulation because there's no words.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask y'all a question? Did it bother the fuck out of anybody else that the dogs were whistling? I was like, come the fuck on, man. Dogs can't be whistling like that.
No, I didn't mind the whistling.
I mean, they can't speak English either, so I was like, well, okay, I'll just go with it.
I was looking at it for more of like
I thought it was a sweet movie. I'll leave it
at that.
It
was cute.
It was sweet. It was an interesting, artsy, sweet movie that I would recommend if you are ready for a middle-of-the-road Wes Anderson movie.
Well, you know,
that was beautifully done. Whatever.
Very true. This is one of those movies. I kind of got this from the trailer of this movie, though, of course, my expectations were a lot higher. This is one of those movies, honestly, because I don't know who it's for. I would also recommend it and also preface that by saying, I don't know if you'll like this or not. So give it a shot. Because I'm sure there's somebody. Well, because it's like in the 8 or 9s on average online.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes gave it 91%.
Yeah, so someone's liking it.
Mm-hmm. Critics are liking it.
Loving it.
I don't know who.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
I feel like people, when they rate Wes Anderson's movies now, it's almost the, I don't know if there's a good director to, but it's like his name precedes him.
Yeah.
So
he's just synonymous with the style and the genre now.
They look at him, and when they're looking at his movie, they go, oh, it's Wes Anderson making art. It's not Wes Anderson making a cohesive movie that's supposed to answer.
Right, because he makes independent art films. Exactly. You know, makes them for himself.
A lot of times,
that's who
yes.
this movie's well, for. It was for Wes Anderson.
There was the comparison with Surrealism with David Lynch earlier.
Yeah, maybe we should use that as a segue into our next topic, which I'm a little bitter about, but...
I mean, we can go there. I was gonna give a brief review on a movie I saw that none of you completely saw. You started to see it but didn't finish it, which was Brigsby Bear.
Oh, okay.
It was a Sundance Film Festival movie last year in 2017. This kid Kyle Mooney, he
from SNL,
lives in an underground bunker his whole life. He has only ever known one thing: Brigsby Bear. It's this TV show that he gets VHS tapes of. That, like, teach him about life and stuff. And he only knows his parents.
People who stole him from a hospital.
Which he doesn't know. Right. So when he's, like, in his late 20s, early 30s, and the cops show up and take him away and give him back to his real family to free him, he is displaced into a world he literally doesn't know or understand. And the only thing he wants to do is see more episodes of Brigsby Bear, man. So he goes on a quest to make his own movie, and it's really just it's well done. And the Lonely Island team did the movie. Like, it's Andy Samberg. He makes a cameo appearance in the film. I feel like there's another member of Lonely Island that's in the movie too, but don't quote me on that. But it's really sweet. Mark Hamill's in the movie as the dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched like what the first 20 I watched like the first 25 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of was bummed that I didn't finish it.
We'll finish it. We'll rewatch it because it's worth a watch.
It looked really interesting.
It's definitely different. It's one of those things that if you come across it and you have an opportunity to sit down and watch it, give it a shot because it'll leave you feeling, I guess it's a different kind of bittersweet is what I want to say.
It was borderline looking like it was going to be bleak just because this character is so pathetic.
But then it kind of doesn't ever take that rough of a twist. Like for a minute.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'll definitely watch this movie then.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I would say it's definitely like a 3.75 out of 5 pizza slices.
Okay. Solid. Well, I guess we have some homework for next time.
At any point in time.
Movie homework. That just sounds fabulous.
I know. It's the best kind of homework.
You know what? I want to ask a question. Is there a movie you could recommend to us that you don't think we have seen?
I know. It's Ingrid Goes West.
Oh, we were... Please.
Because, well, as
have
I
you
said...
Have you seen that, Lauren?
Mm-mm.
As I said last night or two nights ago, if I had not seen... My personal favorite of 2017, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, I would have said my favorite film was Ingrid Goes West. It's Aubrey Plaza.
Lover.
Also. Lover, of course. I've been in love with her ever since Parks and Rec, of course.
She's really know her from Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. Also, she did that like spot on live action Daria thing
for college. She did Safety Not Guaranteed with Mark Duplass.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
So obviously all over the place, right? Amazing actress.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie though, she is, it starts off, this is all in the trailer, so no spoilers here. And what happens is she's the kind of person where after her mom passes away, her best friend, she becomes obsessed with Instagram, and this one woman just comments one time and she becomes obsessed with her. It's like this enabling into like influencers like on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
And this person becomes her fascination. Well, she gets married, doesn't invite Ingrid because they don't know each other. She bear maces her, has to go to a mental institution. When she comes out,
oh my god,
you think, oh right, she'll get better, right? Oh, this is a black comedy, pitch black comedy.
It sounds like it.
Uh-huh. And
sounds dark as night.
What happens is she's out of the hospital. You think she's better. And then in comes Elizabeth Olsen from L.A. and doing Elizabeth the Olsen. Most Instagram-y stuff you could possibly think of. Quoting like poetic books she's never read. Posting like the perfect picture. Hashtag perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious just listening to all of that Instagram culture. But then, well, Ingrid Goes West, she goes to meet her, and it's just so full of lies and deception and kind of holding a mirror up to the perils of being obsessed with social media. And it's just,
dark.
Again, it's a pitch black comedy, and I just love it. I love it too much. I have an unhealthy obsession with it. Oh. So I heavily, again, recommend that movie.
I'll be looking into that. We'll be trying. Maybe if you stick around tonight, maybe we can watch it later. It'd be a thing.
Okay. Yeah, I would love that. I can watch it an unlimited amount of times. Sweet. I love it.
Yeah. I'd be into that.
Cool. Do you have any recent film recommendations other than Safety Not Guaranteed, which is fucking awesome? Can I just say again?
Yeah.
I'm so
I love
glad
that
you've
movie.
Seen that movie. That made me so happy when you said that.
It also has what's his name from New Girl in it. Jake Johnson.
Yes, it does.
New Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. That movie has a very strange twist.
Yeah.
You really aren't expecting
aren't expecting it to actually work.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very well said. But anyways, do you have any recommendations?
The most recent movie I went to go see was Thoroughbreds.
Okay.
Yes.
That was really good.
What's it about?
It's about these two young girls who are like really kind of wealthy. And one of them... doesn't like her stepdad. So she goes and she hires Anton Yelchin, who this was his last movie before he passed away.
Sad.
Yeah. He was in it. she hires him to like kill her stepdad, but he doesn't do it. So, I mean, it wasn't very long. It was maybe only like an hour and a half, but the stepdad ends up dying, and I'm not going to tell you how he dies or who kills him.
Okay.
But it has a very bleak ending. Ooh. Like, just very bleak, very dark. It's kind of like a dark comedy, too.
Would you recommend it, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely.
Do you have to be in the bleak kind of mood for it?
Yeah, it has an amazing soundtrack.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Well, the trailer kind of implied it, because I loved the trailer for it.
Yeah.
Just haven't seen the movie, and it looks, if you say it's so great, then
It's a very fast-moving movie. Oh. Like,
once you get on the train, you're moving into the story.
I can appreciate those kind of movies.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No bullshit.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing I went to go see recently was Annihilation.
Oh, that Natalie Portman one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you liked that one. You were telling me about it.
It was really good. I wanted to go see it a second time. I just didn't have time to.
Is it out of theaters now?
Yeah.
No. Oh, is it really already?
Because it came out a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, like maybe a month ago.
It came out right after Black Panther.
We still haven't seen Ready Player One.
That's on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen that one yet?
Mm-mm.
We should all go see it sometime.
I haven't.
I really want to go see Avengers Infinity War in theaters.
Well, we're going to do that.
By the time this podcast is out, we all will have already done that. Spoiler alert. I wish we could say we have already done it today, but we have not.
Yeah. When is it coming out? Thursday?
Thursday,
yeah.
Yeah, this Thursday night. Launch. Which we will... oh, man. Does anybody... Let's just go ahead and do this, because that's fun. Sure, why not? Predictions on Infinity War. Do you have any thoughts on anything you might think are definitely coming?
Anybody? Well, I think there's going to be a major death, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure who it's going to be.
I think it's going to either be Cap or Iron Man. Probably Cap.
I don't want it to be Cap, though.
I kind of do. I'm sorry.
You just missed Veronica doing the perfect, damn. Did I just fucking say that voice? Yeah, I did.
I guess I just said what was really in my heart. No, if anybody's going to die, it's going to be the old man, you know? But like, he's going to die a hero. Die. That's like his destiny, man.
I feel like if anyone should die, it should be Tony.
It has to be. I think
I don't want Tony to die.
The weight of Tony Stark's death, though, will literally change the course of the MCU because it's hinged on him.
That's what's going to happen, isn't it? I can already see it.
I mean, there's a couple different things I can see happening. Here's something that we haven't talked about. Maybe I've shared this on other podcasts, but I digress. I feel like Loki is definitely dead. He may be the first to die in this movie. Like,
I think Loki is definitely going to die.
You're dead, and Thor's going to have to watch it.
Because we were talking about this before, that we think that this movie is going to just pick up right where the end credits.
So this movie combines people from like the Avengers series, like
with Guardians of the Galaxy.
With Guardians of the Galaxy, does it add in any of the X-Men?
No, because the Fox deal hasn't gone through yet. So unless I've been talking about this.
This is why it's not as good as the comic books.
Well, that's not true, because Fox, the Disney deal is on the table. It's happening.
Yeah,
there's a small percentage of chance that within that deal, because the only reason Disney needed to acquire was for the Marvel characters, there could be within the deal language that says, as soon as we start working on the paperwork of this deal, we're going to give you X amount of dollars as like a down payment on what we're buying in exchange for our immediate ability to use the rights for these certain characters. So that's the only way I could see that playing out, where the X-Men would show up, but not likely. I think we won't see that happen until 2020 at least.
Well, and you know, it is too bad, because on top of like all the potential storylines, I think the one thing that did kind of sincerely peeve me about Age of Ultron,
yes sir,
was, what was the word they called them? Elizabeth Olsen and that other guy, they were actual X-Men, but they were called what?
They were the what did they use? They didn't call them mutants.
They called them something. I was like, you mean X-Men? But they called them something. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, you mean X-Men?
Miracles. That was the first time, the first thing they were called, because in the end credits of Captain America Winter Soldier, you see Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen in the cell, and they're called Miracles the first time, but I think they're actually called Enhanced during Age of Ultron's actual storyline.
Bogus.
Very bogus. Totally bogus. Do you have any predictions on what's going to happen?
Well, I'm going to go more like thematic with this. I'll be very frank with all of you. with Marvel movies, it's very hit or miss for me. I don't get swept up in a movie just because it's superheroes and just because it's the same characters I've seen the last 10 years. There have, of course, been some gems as of late, like Black Panther. A Winter Soldier was really good. Iron Man 3. I really liked the first one.
Did you like Ragnarok?
I loved Ragnarok because the Thor series was always kind of like, eh. But then the Thor series was always kind of like, ugh.
Thor the Dark World. Thor the Dark World is still one of the only two Marvel movies that I own.
So sad.
Iron Man 3.
That's okay.
But this is actually the first Avengers movie that I'm genuinely excited for. To answer your question, it's just, I predict that it's going to be, I mean, there will be moments that will be fun. Some moments will be funny, but it's just going to be so fucking sad and depressing because, I mean, and this is only part one, and there's already expected someone to die. And it's like, well, to be fair, though, I have seen these characters for 10 years, and it's just like, I don't want anyone to die. And so the idea of that really makes me want to watch it because I just, not to sound morbid, but I kind of like the idea of going into a Marvel movie and some sick shit's about to go down.
So Marvel Massacre.
Uh-huh.
It is exactly a Marvel Massacre. It's funny because I think a lot of people were like, oh, no one really dies in the MCU.
I bet Hawkeye's going to die.
No, I think Hawkeye's well, actually going to be the savior.
See, I would be happy if Black Widow died. Just because I don't like Scarlett Johansson very much.
Fair enough.
But they're not going to kill her because she's like one of the only two female leads.
That just makes me excited for Captain Marvel, though.
Brie Larson.
I love Brie Larson.
Which actually, Josh Brolin fucked up and said that she's in this movie.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Well, her.
Spoilers.
Michael Douglas. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh my God, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Meaning that they're going to do Ant-Man and Wasp lead-ins in this movie.
That's right, I did hear about that.
Yeah, so this movie's like...
Michelle Pfeiffer. I wonder what her life's like.
One thing I want to say... I think Drax the Destroyer is also dead. I think Batista's gone.
I think you're right.
Because he is the most comedic member of the Guardians because he's so sincere. And you've grown to love him because he's kind of a lovable idiot. So killing him in exchange for the team growing more and growing together more is, I think, a necessary play. You're not going to kill Groot. They already kind of did that. He's not really dead. You're not going to kill Rocket because he's too unique of a character for movies.
Is Rocket the little raccoon? The little raccoon.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to kill Gamora because, again, lady lead.
Right, you love know? Interest.
And you're not going to kill...
Who's Gamora's sister? Isn't she played by Karen Gillan? What's her name?
Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, you also have Mantis.
And Mantis, yeah. Interesting.
She's just a side character.
In the comics, Nebula is actually the one who stops Thanos.
Truth. Dope.
Thanos turns her into a walking corpse.
Honestly, I love Karen...
Karen Gillan.
Yeah, I love her. My little son just made me watch the new Jumanji with him. And
that was cute.
I really hate to say that I loved it, but I did. It was really cute. And she was so good in it. I didn't think I was going to like her in it, but I did.
What would you rate it on a 5 pizza slices?
4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she just came out with a new movie. It just premiered at Tribeca. It's called The Party Never Ends or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Some like, and she directed it and she wrote it and she starred in it.
Whoa. I really like her. Nice. I think she's really cool.
Yeah.
She was in that other movie, The Circle.
Tom Hanks.
That's
movie.
Funny, actually, that you bring that up. We read that as part of my book club.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How was it? Was the book good?
I mean, I didn't read the book.
Oh.
The book club did. Oh, I didn't. Wow.
So much for your book club, Lauren.
That was awesome. Well, I didn't read it.
Oh, 10 points for honesty.
Movie podcast, bitch.
I heard it was a really good book, though.
That's great.
The back of the book has some really nice quotes about it. Some really nice... A lot of people said really nice things. I think Margaret Atwood commented on it about how good it was. And I love Margaret Atwood. She did The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. I still haven't gotten into that one.
The new season premieres at the end of April. It premieres maybe a week from today. Maybe?
I just saw a friend's post yesterday on Facebook about how she just started watching The Handmaid's Tale for the first time. And she's like, I think I seriously, or she said something about having panic attacks or something. She's like, I think I'm seriously having a panic attack.
I'm really excited for HBO, or maybe it's not HBO now. I'm not sure who's adapting the Oryx and Craig series, which is like her like her science fiction dystopian like world that she did. Like it deals more with like physical sciences as opposed to like just like social sciences, like The Handmaid's Tale. It's all about like
people. Right.
But Oryx and Craig, what's the second one? The second one is called The Year of the Flood, and the third one is called Mad Adam.
Ooh.
But
intense.
Yeah.
That sounds like something for grown-ups.
They're also adapting the His Dark Materials trilogy into a BBC series, and I'm really excited for that.
I love anything on the BBC.
Yeah. I love those books. I grew up reading them, and I'm so excited for them to come to BBC.
I just recently started reading a new book because I was telling you the other day, I guess hosted our other Journey into Comics Network, other podcast, Literature, an enlightened podcast about books. Nice. And it was for April Fool's Week. I got to host that one, and I did a book review on Skeleton Crew, you know, Stephen King. And it was so fun. And, wait, what were we just talking about? I just lost my train of thought because I was thinking about literature. Right. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, we were talking about books. Yeah. I'm sorry. This is a movie podcast, but we were going down a book tangent. But yeah, I just recently started reading a new book after I had that experience. I was like, I got to start reading again. And so I'm going to pre-order this book by Charlene Harris. Did you ever read any of her books? She did the True Blood books.
No. Mm-hmm. I bought like the first and second copy of those books, but I could not read more than like two or three chapters into them. They were so awful.
You didn't like them?
No.
Oh my god, I loved them. It was like my Southern stories.
It was like softcore porn in books.
Well, I was like a little housewife at the time, you know? Like that was my shit. No, I loved it. I thought it was so good. And she had like a whole bunch of other little series that she writes about, like different little anthology series. And she has a new one coming out, and it takes place in this alternative America where this woman is like a gunslinger and has to like run people across the borders from Mexico to New America or some shit like that. And it's supposed to be all like witchy and shit. So I'm going to give that one a try. Anyway, you're back. You're eating that disgusting buttered popcorn. Oh, yeah. Jelly bean.
They're so good. Anyways, do you guys want to grill me now?
Hmm?
Do you guys want to grill me?
Is that a segment? Grilling Nate?
Yeah, grill me. Because I feel like it's coming.
For eating the popcorn.
Oh, about what happened last night.
Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
That was a damn fine mistake.
Yeah.
I kept telling y'all that's the latest scene. We didn't even realize until...
Let me explain what happened. This is horrifying and hilarious. So we decided that since we watched the first two seasons of the original Twin Peaks, that we wanted to watch the movie that came out after that. After season two was canceled, they came out with this movie called Fire Walk With Me. And then years later, this was last year, they came out with season three on Showtime. So Sarah and I just recently watched the original seasons one and two. And we invited Lauren over and we wanted to watch Fire Walk With Me. So Nate got it for us. He found it online, downloaded it for us, and we sit down and we've been talking to Andrew all day about how magnificent Twin Peaks is and the glory of how it just encapsulates your life and now everything is Twin Peaks. Am I wrong, Lauren?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So then we put this movie on. And it took us a really long time to get ready. Like, we're ready to watch this fucking movie. We even said the wrestling thing. We're like, it's time. Let's do it. And so we put it on. Nate put it on for us. And we're sitting there watching this movie. And we're so confused.
We should have known when it said deleted and extended scenes at the beginning.
At the very beginning. But because we were watching David Lynch.
We had
never seen Fire Walk With Me. We had no fucking idea that Nate had mistakenly downloaded the movie Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me Missing Pieces, which is just the extended and deleted scenes from the movie.
Yeah.
So we were watching this horrifically disjointed.
Which we didn't even realize until we got to literally like it had ended.
We watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was two.
The whole thing.
We watched the whole fucking thing. 2 hours of deleted scenes of Twin Peaks, only to realize that was not the movie we were supposed to watch.
Because I was reading along with the Wikipedia the whole movie.
Right, and you were so confused. I was like,
this is not how it's supposed to end. And then I found the Wikipedia on Twin Peaks, The Missing Pieces, and I was like, oh, wait, did it end this way? Yes, it did. So
Nate fucked up and downloaded the wrong movie, and we watched it last night.
So what did you think? Did you like it? What would you give this movie out of 5 pizza slices?
I just felt so bad for Andrew because this was his first foray into Twin Peaks. Like, immediately following this disaster of a movie viewing that happened, we watched the pilot episode of Twin Peaks.
Pilot.
Andrew, what'd you think? Did it make up for the horrific, you know, clusterfuck that was that deleted scene mess?
Yes, it more than did that. I personally love these kind of small town dramas. I like the idea of there being like this, you know, murder mystery case that's shaking up the whole town. And I completely then saw, after watching the hour and a half long pilot, which felt like to me like the proper movie.
Yeah, it was a really long pilot.
But it was so good, though, because there's all this drama, all these little things, all these little, like, trails to kind of, like, watch for as the series progresses.
So many Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. You really have to pay attention when you watch Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. you know, just to pick up on all of the ridiculous nuances and subtle, mm-hmm. like, hilarious things.
But I absolutely loved it. And again, I completely understand in terms of looking at it as perhaps even a parody, because just as I was actually, you know, getting emotionally invested in the scene, and it was so funny because here I am like just watching it with such earnest, and Veronica and Sarah just fucking dying in the background.
We're just smiling so crazy because we know what's happening.
And then something will happen. Like the mother of the victim starts screaming her head off, but not in an appropriate way.
Right.
And... Yeah, and then like
over the top.
It's over the top.
Or there'll be a serious moment where now the students are learning, she said, and then someone like over dramatically snaps their pencil in half, and it disconnects from the scene. But
Donna Hayward crying at her desk,
right? Like she immediately knew it was Laura. Like,
she's like but it's
drama, and then the schoolgirl's screaming through the quad as she's running
with her
through.
Holding her head.
Yeah,
like she's lost it, and it's just. But God. All of that though. Ugh. Those slight little disconnect moments, though,
mm-hmm. it makes you think that it's a parody.
Even those work. Opera. Exactly. It's a mess, but I love it. I absolutely loved the pilot, and I'm so glad
he gets it. I was worried. I was going to be really mad if he didn't like it.
After the movie, I was like, this
that
is...
was not a movie.
That was not a movie.
That was literally just deleted scenes, kind of somewhat coherently edited to resemble something like a movie.
Sarah right. kept saying quotes. After the movie, or after the thing was over, it wasn't a movie. Stop thinking you even saw it.
Oh,
get
yeah.
out of your head. It never happened.
Yeah, erase she's like, it. Completely forget you saw everything, because there was a couple of spoilers here and there that you are not even going to remember, mm-hmm. you know, by the time you get through Twin Peaks, because you have 2 seasons to catch up on, and they're like 24 episodes a season.
How's that make you feel?
Like you have a long summer.
Well, actually, and I said this last night, not trying to like plug companies or nothing, but like seriously, I've got Netflix and I'm gonna be watching the shit out of it when I get home. Excellent. But then after that, because the 3rd season is available, I'm gonna actually buy Hulu finally in my life so I can watch that. But also because I'm obsessed with Archer and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but I am hooked on Twin Peaks.
Great.
That damn, air quotes great. Movie air quotes that we watched last night did not deter me.
Good. I'm so glad, because I want to go back. I want to watch Fire Walk With Me, and then maybe someday I'll watch The Missing Pieces again, because I'm so obsessed with Twin Peaks. I would watch it again just to be like, what I miss. I need more.
Season,
I need
the third
more.
Season is really good.
That's is good. It
really, really good?
I heard it was very polarizing. Like you either liked it or you didn't. That's what I heard. I heard it was good and it was bad. But don't spoil it.
It had a very fucked up ending. Like, I don't know if he's going to do any more Twin Peaks. I kind of wish he does. I kind of wish he would just leave it alone.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
But it had a very... It kind of had an ending where you just want you just need to know what happened.
God
but
damn it, it.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how he's going to...
It's like, not like he can wait another 25 years.
Yeah.
They're all right. getting older. The log lady's already gone.
And, right. And the thing that's so strange about it is just because of the way that it ended, I don't know how he's going to open up a fourth season just because it just ended so... Completely. Oddly, but like in a very David Lynch way, like it kind of made sense that he ended it this way, to be honest.
Ugh, well, now I just have to watch it. We're going to have to watch Fire Walk with Me, and then we're going to have to watch season 3.
You need to watch Westworld.
Oh, ugh, shit, I know.
Guess
I know.
What?
We do.
We have one more story to talk about food-based wise on this podcast because it was recently my birthday.
Yes, it was recently Nathaniel's birthday.
We went to Hibachi.
We went to House of Kobe for teppanyaki.
It was redonkulous.
Yeah.
It was so good. I ordered the Kobe beef steak and scallops.
And they were fancy.
Absolutely incredible.
What I love about this place, you've been to House of Kobe, right?
Mm-hmm. I went there in high school for like after prom and after turnabout.
It was House of Kobe was like a very 90s place to go. Mm-hmm. Like in the 90s, you go there for your birthday to get the Polaroid picture and, you know, and the carrot cake. But I go there for my birthday still because I love it, you know. So we decided to go there for Nate's birthday. And then I like it because they serve you in courses. You get your little soup, your broth with the noodles, and then the salad. And Sarah got the ginger dressing, which was really good.
Amazing.
I kind of regretted getting what I got. I just got basic-ass ranch. They only have three options, ranch, French, or ginger. And I should have got the ginger.
There's always next time.
There's always next
there
time.
There is always next time.
Yeah, someone and then does the guy comes out.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, I guess I do, don't I? I keep forgetting that I'm turning 31.
I just did. Yeah. It don't mean no damn thing. 31's the new 21. That's what I'm saying.
Great. I'll just hop on that bandwagon.
Yeah,
so I got, what did I get? I got the land and sea. That's what I always get. It's steak and shrimp, hibachi style.
Nice.
Delicious.
You got your shrimp extra crispy.
I always get the shrimp extra crispy. Yeah.
Also known as tough AF.
They were a little tough, but that's just kind of like how I like it.
It's okay. It's fine. My Kobe beef was a little more rare than medium rare, but it was perfect.
Yeah.
And oh my God, those leftovers yesterday. Oh,
yeah.
Hibachi leftovers.
I haven't eaten my leftovers.
Do you just throw it on the skillet with some butter and lemon?
Yeah, I'm not feeling
done.
It. It's like House of Kobe needs to be like maybe like twice a year kind of thing for me.
Ooh, you put it in the lobster category.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. We did go to Red Lobster and we had the chicken fried lobster tail and waffles.
Jesus Christ.
With the Cheddar Bay biscuit waffle and it was fucking delicious. Oh my God. So good.
That shit should be illegal.
Yeah, it was delicious. We've been eating a lot of yummy food lately.
Hell yeah.
You guys had anything of note lately? Any good food that needs to be mentioned?
Oh, I was. We were talking about when we were entering Albany's that the Dairy Queen S'mores Blizzard is back.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The best thing ever.
It was the best news ever. Two of my sisters work at Dairy Queen, and one of them was at work the other day, and we went in to get some ice cream. And she's like, we have the s'mores back. And I was just like, oh, my God. Because when I was young, I worked at Dairy Queen. And that's when we had the s'mores galore parfait. And it's like the same thing as a peanut butter parfait, but just with s'mores stuff. So it's like a layer of hot fudge, the graham cracker, marshmallow, and vanilla ice cream. And you just repeat those layers over and over, you know, to your heart's content. And she made me one because they don't sell them on the menu, but she just made it like she would a peanut butter one. And it was so good. It brought back so many memories. It was very nostalgic. I loved it.
Ridiculously tasty.
I kind of want one now.
Well, we are going to be getting out later. Of course, we can probably do that.
Legally,
we have enough sugar. Yeah. We bought like $60 worth of candy.
Albany's, yeah.
Oh, man.
But you know what's nice about that? I was just talking to Andrew about this morning. Even like this, I'm not going to finish this today. I won't finish these today. In like 3 or 4 days,
ooh, you got watermelon gummy rings?
Goddamn right I did.
I really like the peach ones.
They were out.
Peach rings.
100% out of peach rings, yep. Because I was going to get some of those too, and they were out.
I also got our buddy Rob a gummy kebab. because he likes gummies.
Gummy kebab.
Yeah, look at that guy. It was like $3 for a kebab with lots of different kinds of gummies.
So it looks like they have like an orange flower and one of those peeps, some sour stuff, some Sour Patch Kids.
Whoa. Ooh, sour what was bears, the...
I do sherbert. That only with chocolate. Sherbert. I do that with chocolate.
The whole kebab?
Yeah, a kebab.
Have you tried the sherbert gummy bears we bought?
Sherbert gummy bears.
Sherbert gummy bears were really interesting.
Yeah, they were.
I liked the green ones, but I didn't really like the orange ones. It had like too much of a little orange dreamsicle flavor for me.
That's funny though, because then they had like the entire box of just the orange.
Yeah, everybody must really like the dreamsicle ones. I didn't. Can I have a green one?
Sure.
Thank you. Here's a green one.
I'm going to try creamy. All three again on the podcast because that's what I want to do. I want to make sure I have a proper opinion of these God, a day later. Good. So I'm going to do the pink one first.
I wasn't a fan of the pink one. Mm. I had a rancid taste last night. Maybe I was having a stroke. I don't know.
Mm, maybe I don't like this green one. Let me have a pink one.
Okay. The pink one's not bad. It's a little sour ending. A little, like...
These were better yesterday.
Were you just like sugar high or something?
Maybe. I don't like that green one. I'm going to try the pink
one. I typically don't like things that are colored green. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Like in like fruity candies or like fruity, like even like fruit, like the freeze pops that you get. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't like green flavored.
It's always a little strong. Mm-hmm. You know what I do like though are green rivers.
I have not had one of those in years.
Yeah.
Explain
every
that.
Every time I go to Shoop's, I get a Green River. It's just, it's like a, it's a type of pop. It's green pop, but it's like lemon lime flavored.
Do they only have it at Shoop's?
No, they make, there's like a brand of like Green River pop you can get. And I think the Shoop's one, like you just have like the Green River syrup, which is just like the green syrup that you put into like Sprite or 7-Up, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was like a drink from my childhood, like a Shirley Temple, you know?
Yeah. Second opinion on those. I don't like them.
I don't like them either.
Oh, no.
I don't like these sherbert gummy bears at all.
One of those peanut butter things, so.
Oh, the dark chocolate meltaways.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I just
Make sure you save one for Sarah.
I will.
Well, I don't know. I thought our haul of candy was great. I had a really great weekend with you guys. I'm mm-hmm. so happy that we all got to spend like the weekend together. That was really great. Nice. It was
Absolutely.
Fun.
Hell yeah.
I'm so happy you got to come on our show with us, Andrew. I hope you had fun.
I had a lot of fun. And I'll say this. Initially, like the moments leading up to, you know, getting mic'd up, I was kind of nervous. Which did not help because we just had this bomb-ass lunch from Culver's. So, like, there was food in the stomach, you know, added to that.
Man, I don't want
to
Ralph.
The nerves.
But the millisecond I realized how casual, you know, because you kept saying it over and over and over. But, you know, even though we have these mics, I mean, it felt like we were just kind of sitting at a table having a conversation. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. That was really cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
I love introducing new people to podcasting. Speaking of people in podcasting, one thing to note yesterday when we were at Olive Garden, that dude was like into podcasting.
Oh, our waiter was into podcasting.
Like, I've been listening to podcasts for so long. It's my dream to be on a podcast. And I was like, look me up, dude. I'll put you on a podcast like tomorrow. Like I can make that happen. You
and
know?
You should. He was so good with our refills.
Oh,
he was
sure.
Awesome.
That's the whole nice reason. Dude. He was so good
I
with
tell
our refills.
I can tell he's a good person.
I'm just like, so Zach, tell me about how you do refills. Let's just have an interview about the refills. You know? Okay. So what's it like at Olive Garden? You know, but all right, folks. Well, before we get down here, as always, you can check out Foodies Watching Movies on all the different social media sites, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Foodies Watching Movies on Facebook and Instagram, but on Twitter, look for Film Foodies. As always, look for us on the Journey into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com. You can also go to iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. We are also on Spotify. Search Journey into Comics Network. You'll get the network. You'll get Foodies Watching Movies and a bunch of other great shows like Game Addicts Podcast and The Voice of Survival and Brews with Dudes.
And Literature.
And Literature and The Poor Rapport and Journey into Comics, Journey into Wrestling, this show, Foodies Watching Movies, Podcastrophy. Also,
all the shows.
Also, go to our Patreon. Give us a buck. You get early access to everything on the network. If you go to our Patreon and give us $3, you get early access and exclusive content. That's podcasts that are only released on our Patreon. You cannot get them on the main feed or anywhere else.
Like our exclusive podcast, The Road to Infinity Wars.
Thank you. Ooh. Which is over by the time people are listening to this.
I know. You'll have to catch up.
I can't believe that that happened. We did it. 18 straight weeks we released a review on the Infinity War.
On the Marvel movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And actually, we did 19 because we also threw in the Deadpool review. It was so good, I could not review it.
Of course, it's Deadpool.
And I didn't even review it. I had Podcastrophy do it because that's just how I felt.
Yeah, he's definitely the perfect person review a Deadpool movie.
I mean, he went as Quinpool.
He was Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Part Harley Quinn, part Deadpool. But
shout out Dick.
Shout out to Dick. All right, well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming to the show, man. It was awesome.
Yes, and thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah. All right, well, I think we're ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, well, for Foodies Watching Movies, this was season 2, episode 18. I've been Nate.
I'm Veronica.
Lauren.
Guest star Andrew.
And we will see you guys later. Keep eating fearless.